Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Mpilelo Zikalala's founder and director of Zikalala Pty Limited, talking about Jacob Zuma's appeal case. A very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us once again. How are you doing?
Good morning to you, and also good morning to your listeners.
So here we go again. What can we expect from this case? It's back in court today, isn't it?
Definitely. I think they should start arguing around about 10 or any time after 10 a.m., in which it's going to be the former president's legal team persuade Judge Kuhn in terms of saying, please grant us leave to appeal to a higher court, in this case the SCA. We believe that the higher court will come to a different conclusion than yours, based on the fact that you may have looked at facts in which you're not supposed to look at. You omitted some facts which are important. But most importantly, there's a legal principle that we need answered in this particular matter of saying, do we then extend the definition of charter to prosecute even to the conduct of the prosecutor? That particular matter has not been traversed by the court, especially by lower court. It's only the NSCP that is pronounced on it. So if you want a final decision on this one, a better interpretation, we believe that the SCA will be able to answer us. So that will be the basis of this type of argument. In fact, the NPA will then say, you don't even need to appeal this part, this decision. It's not appealable. It's a decision that you should live with, come back with, and deal with it within the main trial. And if you so want to appeal at a later stage, appeal every single thing, the conviction if you are so convicted, and also this particular proceeding. Don't break it down into piecemeal approach.
What's interesting is it's always, and obviously it's a strategy with Jacob Zuma and his legal team, is not to allow the substantive nature of the case to be heard. So it always seems to be around the issues of the prosecution and the processes and the style and all sorts of other issues other than the substantive issues themselves. Is this an actual strategy?
I think there are two ways of looking at it. One may say he's purely exercising his rights. There are certain rights that are afforded to him as per Section 35 of our Constitution, and he wants to make sure that he has traversed and exhausted all those rights before he moves on. In light of the following, it is not a usual act of a prosecutor fully employed by the NPA and going and deposing to an affidavit of a political party, or let's say a private individual, to make it more lighter or more comprehensive. Now, the question would then be, on what basis do you go and share information that you have achieved or you have known about within the course and scope of your employment? Because that information never does not belong to you. If you are frustrated with the manner in which things are happening, why didn't you go to your superiors, explain that particular process to them, make sure that you've got all your documentary evidence of your complaint, so that at the end of the day, it's easy for you to complain. Now, what then that does, it creates a perception of a prosecutor who is so hell-bent of making sure that this particular individual is prosecuted, whether the merits are there or not. To such an extent that they are willing to even to break the law, which is the NPA action, the code of conduct of the NPA, and to engage in this part of an action. Now, that's the type of question in which the court will have to sit down and understand and sort of make a pronouncement on what to do in instances such as this one. That's why we have the court to deal with matters in which they baffle us in terms of we do not have an answer of how these particular things are supposed to be approached. So that is the stance in which former president will be coming in and saying, I want my rights to be protected in this manner. But there is a solution to what both parties are crying about in terms of saying, Alfred Biliteana, please step back. You're not going to be the lead prosecutor in this matter. It doesn't mean that you're going to stay at home. You're still part of the team. It's just that you're not the one who's going to stand up and address the court. But the institutional knowledge that you may have of the matter, the knowledge of how you prosecuted Mr. Sheikh, is still going to be there. You're still going to assist in the prosecution of this particular proceeding. It's just that you're not going to be the one who's going to be making submissions. Once you've done that, we've removed the cause of the problem that you may have, and you are able to move forward. And there are lesser, sort of, you've also closed the opportunities for things in which the former president can cry about in terms of his infringement of his Section 35 rights.
Does it actually close the, you know, the impression that I have as a layperson in this case is that it's almost unlimited the amount of obstructions and diversions that can be placed before the court. Is that not the case?
It definitely is, but it is done with the intention of making sure that justice is achieved all the time. You'd rather deal with these things at this earlier stage than to deal with the mistrial, in which the mistrial is the result would be, yes, you are guilty, but the procedure that you have used to make sure or to determine to your guilty conclusion is wrong, hence we are going to let you free. That's what the law did say. So it's important to get it right procedurally and also substantively, so that at the end of the day, we don't have any issues of people saying, yes, you are guilty, you are guilty, but we can't punish you for that because there are certain things that infringe on Section 35 rights, which are causing us to come to this particular conclusion. So let's deal with the preliminary stuff now, deal with them, making sure that justice is achieved, and then we can be able to move on to the real merits of the matter.
Can we expect to see at least this part of it going ahead, or can we see more postponements along the way? Because ultimately that's another form of the strategy, is just delay as long as possible until he is just too old or passes away, but justice is never done.
I think this one, the manner in which especially Judge Kuhn has handled this matter, he's been clear in terms of saying, I want to deal with parties as quickly as possible. I want to deal with submissions as quickly as possible. So I'm going to allocate preferential dates, of course, depending on the availability of all the legal practitioners, and say to them, I want to hear what you have to say as soon as possible, and I'll also come to a conclusion. So it's going to depend on the manner in which they're handling their cases. I do not think that there will be any postponements today unless something out of the extraordinary comes in. I think that both parties are going to be given, let's say, 2 to 3 hours to argue. And then after that, Judge Kuhn will say, I'm reserving my judgment to deliver it either electronically or at a later date. But let me hear. I'll make sure that I'm able to deliver it sometime soon so that you can take a decision as to what exactly you want to do at a later stage. Let's also remember, you still have those holding dates in April in which have just been allocated for the trial to start. So he may want to save those dates depending what to the attitude of the losing party today.
Yeah, so this will go ahead today from 10 a.m. Do you expect a lot of attention on it?
Yeah, definitely, especially due to the allegations that have been thrown from one party to another, due to the manner in which they've drafted their heads of argument. There are a lot of sharp arguments that are going to be raised, lots of accusations that are going to be thrown out. And it's up to the judge to determine what he wants to hear and what he doesn't want to hear. But again, it's a legal principle which of importance of saying, what do we do in this particular case? What do we look at if we want to appeal a certain matter? How crucial is it that we get it right at these initial stages, especially in light of protecting our Section 35 rights as afforded by our Constitution?
Absolutely critical that we keep up to date on this. It has just gone 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. This is Your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. And we, of course, have been talking about the Jacob Zuma case. That is with Mpulelo Zikalala, founder and director of Zikalala Pty Limited.